Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And it's a Wednesday, so we return to our man down mashup session. We're on the clock in Guardian Radio AM, come together to dissect, assess, and interrogate what we found in the news. I got lots of topics to talk about this morning. We want to talk about the NIB rate increase. And I want to ask, has anybody seen a white paper, a policy paper, a statement explaining the rationale of said increase? We also have a story here about JDL, I guess, cargo management. And this new system being implemented at LPIA for all freight coming into the country via the air. We also have some quick stories about the roads. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Oh, I hear reading notes that actually and forgot that you're talking. How you doing, Erin?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Some interesting topics that we are planning to talk about today, particularly the NIB. Mm-hmm. I think that's serious. I think that there's a crisis brewing. I think that all nationalists, all right-minded behemoths need to sit and sober up and do an introspection, do an analysis, do an interrogation of what is being said, mm-hmm. and then challenge our leaders. Say, hey, no, this is our future we're talking about. We need to make some tough decisions moving forward.
Absolutely. I want to start with this question. In the most recent ministerial shuffle, where the PM shuffled not just cabinet ministers, but also shuffled the ministries themselves and changed the composition of the ministries. I want to look just for a second at the Ministry of Energy and Transport and ask the question, if this move was an effective one, and whether the minister, Jo Beth Colby, and the ministry itself has the resources and the capacity to focus on both energy and transport at the same time.
You've asked that question before. Mm-hmm. You asked a question initially when the reorganization or restructuring of the ministries were put together, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's cumbersome, too big,
yeah.
right? Whether it should, why they put those two ministries together and how they connect, mm-hmm. right? My response then, and still kinder is now, technocrats run the ministry, not necessarily the minister.
Right, the problems I see arising in the Ministry of Transport, I don't think they arise because of a defect or a dysfunction in the technical side of the ministry. I think the issues arising are about policy engagement. It's about managing the resources of the ministry, organizing the resources of the ministry, and constructing effective and efficient schedules and exercises, right? So I give you an example. I got three stories here about, I want to say, severe or extreme traffic incidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that, I mean, I think this is, the issues that arise in these stories are the responsibility of the Minister
yes.
of Transport.
What you describe, I would say, squarely is the minister herself.
Right. But did you notice that there are road works taking place all through downtown, the downtown area, over the last few days?
Yes, I did notice that.
When did you notice it?
Within this week.
No, I mean, like, when in your route did you notice it?
I noticed it today, driving toward town, trying to avoid the Eastern Road.
Right. So that's one, the extreme east. In town yesterday, I encountered road works on Market Street in front of Central Bank. There are road works on
Shirley Street.
On the access to from Bay to Dowswell.
Yes.
Right? The road works taking place on Dowswell Street.
Yes.
My issue is this. Not that the road works are taking place. And not necessarily, of course, I have an issue that proper notice was obviously not posted, not publicized. But there's a devolution in the process. There are no roadwork signs up. There are no detour signs up. There are no signs indicating the driver should reroute unless their destination is within this zone. Right? There's nothing. In fact, I encountered one, like I said yesterday, in front of Market Street in front of Central Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Then one on Victoria Avenue at the western mouth entrance or exit to Dowswell Street.
Mm-hmm.
A few days earlier, Commonwealth, the road that Commonwealth Bank is on East Bay Street,
mm-hmm.
that was blocked off. No notice, no detour signs. And then there's been Delavaux Street, I'm not sure. That road has actually been blocked off for months and months and months and months. I don't know where these notices are being posted. There are obviously no road work signs up, no detour signs up. It's the most troubling thing for me. It's as if the people in the Ministry of Transport don't understand that they have an obligation to ensure that the people at Ministry of Works and their subcontractors understand their obligation to road users, which is you're supposed to have a traffic management team if your project impedes in any way the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get terribly bothered when I see private sector, private utilities doing road works or maintenance work, and they're creating an obstacle in the road, and they just refuse to put up detour signs, road work signs. I'm not even sure if they're following the proper protocols for cones. When you set up cones, right, to protect mm-hmm. the worker,
mm-hmm.
they're not even setting up the cones properly. There's been a complete and utter devolution.
I think your critique is depreciation of the motorists in general.
Mm-hmm.
There is no concern about our experience on the road.
And I think there's no actual acknowledgement that these types of projects severely impact the effective and efficient movement of goods, services, and people, which underpins your economy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a healthy economy if people cannot move themselves, their goods, and their services efficiently and effectively through the town.
Hmm.
The Ministry of Transport at some point should be liaising with the Road Traffic Department in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because we're now beginning to see gridlock traffic. Yesterday, late afternoon, somebody posted on Facebook, "Stay away from Sanders Beach, beware. The roadways are blocked up in every direction around Sanders Beach." And I wonder if the ministry and the minister understand their role in liaising with Road Traffic Department to ensure that they are enforcing the traffic controls, or to determine if a lack of enforcement is the reason for the increasing long delays on the road and gridlock. Now, somebody else said, hey, I saw a video. It's possible that there was a police or a a roadblock, an exercise. I'm not sure if it was an immigration exercise. I don't know if it was a police exercise, but I tell you what, I know it wasn't a traffic exercise. I know the roadblock had nothing to do with reinforcing traffic controls.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I want to put on the table that I don't think any roadblock we've had over the last several months has anything to do with traffic control, traffic enforcement. They are all simply either tax collection exercises or attempts to identify or find wanted people and to interdict drugs and guns, contraband.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with traffic enforcement. In fact, I'm wondering what was the purpose of, I guess, revitalizing the road traffic department, giving officers a separate uniform, because they're not enforcing traffic controls. They're only engaging in tax collection exercises.
You mentioned you had articles.
Yeah, let's run to those stories. So here are the three stories, and I would presume, if I didn't have any sense, I would presume that the severity of the injuries in these three stories would prompt the Ministry of Energy and Transport, Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Ministry of National Security, to acknowledge that what we're experiencing on the roads is indeed a crisis. Caller, let's go to the caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Morning, Dewey. Morning to your lovely producer. You know, Eric, oh, I hear you talking, but you know what it shows? It came to my thought when you was talking.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't care. We just don't care to organize a city.
Mm-hmm.
We need to now look at
local government.
City, new problem being a city, local government, start up with local government.
Thank you.
All of that, what you, fellow?
I know I'm saying thank you.
All of that, what you're talking about, most of that might be solved by the community.
Well, listen, Pumpkin Eater, mm-hmm. I want to thank you for that contribution. Let me get to these three stories very quickly.
Right? Why you finish the three stories?
No, that's what Cecil was prompting me to do, to read the three stories very quickly.
Yeah, read them. I have one comment on one of them.
Right, because
I keep calling back.
Okay.
All right, perhaps local government may be the solution or a part of the solution to bring in traffic under control. But I've got two stories from the Family Islands here where they have local government, and I'm not sure if local government is working effectively to eradicate these issues, right?
I'm not sure local government's in charge of that. Transport is for the Department of Transportation.
Right, but local government should be able to identify the issue.
They don't
right?
pay for roads.
They should be able to identify the issue and present to the ministers responsible from a local government perspective, A, what the issues are, and B, solutions to the issues, right? Because there's a layer of government, which means there's a layer of organization there. But let's go into the stories. The first story, island administrator severs his arm in car accident in Abaco. The senior island administrator for Central Abaco and Hopetown severed his arm during a traffic accident on Abaco over the weekend. Ricardo Ferguson, a former principal of Patrick J. Bethel High School, was the sole occupant of the vehicle that was traveling west on George Albrey Boulevard Saturday night. Right? So that's the first story. Mm-hmm. He's coming straight from Abaco. That's the senior administrator.
That's a sad story.
It is a sad story. And so I want to say this. I'm not speaking trivially, and I do not intend to offend the administrator at all. We hope that he is able to continue with his life. We hope that he's able to find prosthetics, right, and mm-hmm. rehab. But what was the cause of this accident?
Mm.
Is it due to the condition of the roads? Is it user error,
mm-hmm.
right? Was he speeding? Was he not paying attention? Was it the car was not in the proper condition, right? Was there an issue with the car that caused the accident? But all of these are things that could be resolved. Right? Here's the second story. It's an even more tragic story, Mr. Nuri. Fireman in Abaco dies after fall from fire truck en route to boat fire. A volunteer firefighter in Abaco died after falling off of a truck that was rushing to a fire scene, leaving his community in shock. Guanaki resident Stephen Jenkins, 61, was heading to Baker's Bay Friday evening to fight a yacht fire when he accidentally fell off the fire truck and fractured his head. Mr. Jenkins was a property manager who moved to Abaco nearly 20 years ago, loved his community and helping people. We say condolences.
Yes, it's a sad story.
To his friends and family, right? The family have no, they say it's an accident. They're not blaming the driver. They're not placing blame on the driver at all.
This is a story that's hard to interrogate, mostly because it ends tragically.
Yeah.
Right? It gives concern about volunteer firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Are they properly trained to even, to, for the simple thing of just holding on properly on the back of a fire truck? I'm not sure they still did that.
Right.
Driving the back. I mean,
does the volunteer fire team have access to all of the resources necessary for that run to be safe, right? Are they supposed to be wearing a harness and clip on to the back of the truck? Right. What resources are available to them? Was it the quality of the roads that was the issue, right? I saw an interesting video captured from CCTV. I'm not sure if it was New Providence or Family Island, but it involved a police officer on a motorcycle. So I'm assuming it's New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as if they were carrying a passenger.
Yes.
And they hit a bump.
Yes.
And the passenger fell off the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as if they sustained serious injuries.
Yes, I saw that.
For the duration of the video, they seem to be...
not able to move.
Right. I don't know what was happening there. I don't know why a police officer would be transporting someone, a private citizen, on the back of their vehicle.
Was that a private citizen or another police officer?
Right. Was it another police officer? You can't identify that from the video. But what's happening there? Why were they traveling like that? Was the second rider wearing a helmet? Right? Was he wearing a helmet at all? Wouldn't the police be the ones who say, look, no, you're getting a police bike, you got to wear a helmet?
Yes.
Are we enforcing... you see, because if we're not enforcing that within the police force, are we enforcing it in the wider public domain? Mm. The third story, quickly.
But I know you have a third story,
mm-hmm.
but I want to put this in the listening audience mind in terms of volunteer firefighters.
Yes.
And the laws that govern it.
Yes.
I'm not sure how insurance plays into that.
Right, right.
If you... see, I know there is an issue about... people who have life insurance going on charter airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, you put yourself
at risk.
Therefore, some insurance don't pay out.
Right.
Right. I want to know regarding the insurance of this private citizen who has his personal insurance not involved with government.
Mm-hmm.
He's a volunteer firefighter and he placed himself in harm's way, danger. Will the insurance pay out?
Right. Will his personal insurance cover this injury that he, well, he's passed away now,
yeah.
right? The fatality that occurred during this volunteer fire run.
And if that is an issue, how does that impact firefighting, volunteer firefighting on the family
right.
islands in general?
And here's the ultimate question. Why in 2024 are we relying on volunteer firemen? And why, given the level of development taking place on the island of Abaco,
yeah.
have we not ensured that we have at least 2 fire trucks manned by trained firemen, which are policemen in the fire service?
Again, you mentioned the Minister of Transport and
Energy.
And Energy, right? And their responsibility. Clearly, that is a concern, especially in the development of Abaco, especially in the development of
Eleuthera
and Exuma.
Yes.
They should be paid police officers on staff.
Right.
Ready to work.
With government-issued trucks.
With government-issued trucks.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Oh, okay, never mind. No problem. They want to talk to the producer. They don't want to talk to us. We fine.
Yeah.
Here's the third story. American visitor seriously injured in traffic accident. A 34-year-old American man visiting from Boston, Massachusetts, is in hospital after a traffic collision in the vicinity of the toll booth on the Sir Sidney Poitier Bridge. Preliminary reports indicate that on Thursday at around 11 p.m., the victim was operating an electric scooter on the bridge with a male passenger when he reportedly lost control and was thrown from the scooter along with his passenger. The operator sustained severe Let me read that again. The operator sustained severe head injuries and was transported to the hospital where he remains in critical condition. The police traffic division is investigating.
You know, Aaron, I am vested in this story because I have complained about these motorized scooters that is located on Bay Street by a private entity, which does not demand helmet. Mm-hmm. I don't see no driver's license attached to these motorized scooter. I don't see no insurance. I complained that they're blocking off the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, nothing's going to be done until a tourist
gets
seriously injured. And God forbid, lo and behold, a tourist is seriously injured. More likely driving one of these scooters, because they ain't gone detail on what kind of scooter it is. This is a motorized scooter.
Right.
So I can only assume it's one of those rented ones all over Bay Street.
Right. And this takes us back to the critique of the Ministry of Transport, right? So first of all, scooters parked
mm-hmm.
permanently on the sidewalk. When I say permanently, it's intended to be there until somebody rents it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's already a red flag.
It's a red flag. It's against the law. You can't park on the sidewalk.
Absolutely.
And it's an on base, so all the ministers and all the Ministry of Tourism officials
see it.
Yeah. And they ignore it. They don't care. They don't care about wheelchair-bound people and pedestrians who need to walk on the sidewalk, handicapped people who cannot see, could fall over that. They don't care.
At all.
Right? And it continues.
Let's go to the phone line, and then I got an important text where the texter says, I misinterpreted that video, the police officer and the person on the ground. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, how are you?
Everything all right. Hey, CA, what's going on?
Blessings to you, man.
Yeah, man, I call and say the same thing, man. You all look at that video again, man. No, man, that person wasn't getting to on that police motorbike. That police motorbike kicked down another fellow on a little small mini motorbike.
Well, listen,
to the ground.
But that means that the mini bike was stationary then, because you don't see two bikes.
No, it's coming down there. Look at it. I guess before I call you, I look at it again. The mini motorbike was coming down the hill, and he speed up in the back and kick him off his motorbike on the ground. Then go back, come back to him, like you all say. What are you saying over him so long?
Man.
He handcuffed him on the ground, say him and all of that. And look, he put something on him
videos,
and all of that.
What videos y'all was watching? Because that way... That
Yo,
bike was
look
not.
At it. I have it right. You want me to tell not... you all? I just look at it just now.
Listen.
I'm writing the text saying that. No, that police wasn't throwing nothing on. Throwing no one on this motorbike. The motorbike's still on the ground and all, so you can still see it on the ground when the officer came back.
Texter.
So they have to look into that for true.
Texter. I watched the video about 85 times.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't see the boy on the motorbike. I see when the boy drops to the ground. I don't see him on a motorbike, though. But we can interrogate that further. I agree with you.
When the video starts, look at it good coming down the hill by the coconut tree. Look at it good. Where the old truck, the little white truck in the back there.
Yeah.
Look at it good. You see the little small moped, like one of them Krypton coming down, and then the police officer come and kick him off the ground. Right after the police motorbike did pass, if you look by the coconut tree, you see the Krypton still on the ground. It's still there on the ground. Look at it again slow.
We look at it again.
But I agree with you. I agree with you with this point. It requires interrogation because it's in the public domain.
They have to look into that, man. They have to look into that. And someone else could call in and say the same thing, too. Because I just look at it again before, when I hear y'all say that they were towing with no helmet. I say, what video you all see? Yeah. All right, man. All right.
Thank you very much.
Y'all have a blessed day.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Man. I get because I watched it, and I can't figure out where the person came from but off the motorbike. Anyway, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Call back, caller. We're sorry about that. Here's another text that you could see. The caller read your text for you. Another text. Great show as usual. I like the roadblocks. We need more. Too much crime. My problem is we had the traffic police with all their socially inept drivers. We could collect $1 billion in 5 years off of traffic infractions. I pray we Bahamians never, ever, ever have a flying car. Listen, we already have a flying car. And you saw the problem that happened. You saw the problem that happened, right? One of our local airlines decided, somebody that worked for a local airline, let me rephrase that, somebody put a cut nail in the door latch. We already have flying cars. Okay, Mr. Newry, let us transition. Producer, you want to take us to a break? Take us to a break. And then when we get back, JDL or NIB?
No, JDL. So we'll have NIB for a full hour if need be.
Okay. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about a new freight terminal. Maybe a renovated one. Maybe a whole new customs department. Maybe I'm jesting. Maybe I'm not. But we're going to read through the articles.
Man, it's unclear. Whatever it is, it's unclear.
Extremely unclear. You guys, you're on the clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is joining me for this hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Aaron Green. We're on the clock. Guardian Radio AM is with me. Carl, I'm coming to you right now. We saw the video. I hope you all offered that critique in defense of the police officer, though. Anyway, good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and CA.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
Now, yes, fine. To me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The main causes, one of the causes of accident on them Long Island roads,
mm-hmm.
dry rot tires. Tires have a 10-year shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind if they be for the tread, but as you speed, they get hot. Then I remember the island, you go 2 hours, and they get hot, and they just come apart or brace.
Mm-hmm.
So now the police should have taken note of it. Every most accident, the tires are blown. I can bet you that in the States, you change the tires because you don't want them to blow on the highway. And even in some country, they have to use to change their tires every 10 years.
Yeah, in
no matter
fact,
when they look new, the dry rot tires.
One second. In Britain, police officers on patrol, they can give you a ticket if your tires are not at the standard thickness. Right?
So they,
in basic traffic stops, they will assess the integrity of your tires even.
On the tire, it has a mud and the tires was made. It's the thing around it. If everybody look at the tire, and they use it a month and a year, it was over 10 years, do not speed excessively, because they wear dry rot shoes, it will come apart.
I want to ask you, what tire could last 10 years on New Providence or the Family Island Port Holy Roads?
But I'm saying, that causes it. Remember now, we bring in new tires from the States.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in old tires, and we buy them for cheap. But matter when they go on them long, 2 or 3 hours long ride on the Family Islands, and that's all, we don't drive long.
Right, and if you're not treating your tires when you're washing your car, right, they become susceptible.
No, but the dry rot is dry rot, rubber rots.
Yes.
And that the video with the police kick him down. Why didn't he hear his gun drawn?
Listen, y'all saying this like y'all defending the police. What the police supposed to be doing? Kicking somebody down off a motorcycle?
I guess he won't stop.
And if they don't
the
have,
kicked him down.
And if they don't have, if the police observe that the person riding the motorcycle doesn't have a helmet, wouldn't kicking them off the motorcycle increase
know,
the risk of
to,
severe injury or death?
Was the police life in danger for him to do that? Well, he could just follow him, and then come back up.
Yeah.
Because when was he in an armed robbery or there's a routine traffic stop that you almost killed this man? That's the point right there too.
Right. Was the police officer? Did he reasonably believe that the individual on the motorcycle was an imminent threat to the public, to the wider society, or to an individual, but what warrants kicking a man off a motorcycle?
Off a motorcycle. That let's go to can never outrun that 650 BM.
Thank you,
yeah, he can call for backup and do a better stop than that and kick him off the bike if he wasn't a man who doesn't did a murder or armed robbery. On a routine traffic stop, that's, what you call it, unusual punishment.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. We have a texter here that says, we can't afford gas and you want us to be buying new tires. If you take on the responsibility of owning a motor vehicle and driving it on the public roadways, then the onus is on you to ensure that your vehicle is roadworthy and safe. Because what if, as a result of a malfunction in your vehicle, you have an accident that kills somebody? Right? The onus is on the car owner to ensure that their car is safe at all times. And these are the things that the Ministry of Transport should also be focused on. Mr. Newry, we got a new freight company? A new customs department?
I
ain't sure.
I'm not sure what it is. I don't really like it. Whatever it is, I don't like. It seems like it needs to be hashed out some more, some explanation of what's the intent. Because I thought only customs collect taxes.
I thought only customs scans and processes imported goods. I thought that as well.
Apparently, it's different.
So I'm going to read through a series of articles from the 6th of June, 2023, up until the present. First article, government eyes air freight terminal outsourcing. The government, and this is from the 6th of June, 2023.
And that's the headline.
Yeah, that's
government
the headline.
Government eyes
air freight terminal outsourcing. The government is eyeing a proposal to outsource Linden Pindling International Airport's freight terminal to private sector developers and operators. It has been revealed. I like how he said it has been revealed. Not like it's been published in a policy paper or in a statement from the government. Documents accompanying the 2023-2024 budget in an annex detailing private-public partnerships lay out the, quote, justification to design, finance, build, and operate a new air freight terminal, close quotes. Quote again, the purpose of this proposal is for the government to transfer the property consisting of the air freight terminal to a special purpose vehicle owned by the government. Special purpose vehicle. SPV.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we were talking about all the land that this new cryptocurrency company say
yeah.
they own?
Yeah.
One of those companies seemed like they may have been an SPV. I can investigate that later. Okay, so we go to the purpose is for the government to transfer the property consisting of the air freight terminal to a special purpose vehicle owned by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And then to lease that property to JDL in order to design, finance, build, and operate a new air freight terminal. The budget document states. At that point, 6th of June, 2023, no further details were provided and JDL is not identified. Tribune says, the closest matches based on internet searches conducted by this newspaper are a Taiwan-headquartered company, JD Logistics, and a Wisconsin outfit with a similar name.
Wait, they already decide who's going to operate it?
This is in June of last year.
Okay. I'm listening. Go ahead.
But here's my thing. How could the government be announcing an agreement, an arrangement, a relationship?
No, it can't be announcing no agreement. That's why I'm trying to say it sounds like you're saying they already agreed to have business with somebody.
Well, remember, this is June 2023. This last year. Right. No further details provided and, quote, JDL, close quote, is not identified. The Tribune says the closest matches they found, I guess, to an entity called JDL were a Taiwan-headquartered company called JD Logistics and a Wisconsin outfit with a similar name. But here's my thing. If the government is in negotiations, right, with this particular entity, was no one concerned that the entity had no digital footprint?
So a company that nobody knows that has existed is now in negotiating with the government, our government?
We can't say that nobody knows they existed. Because obviously the government must have known they existed. I'm saying that at that point in time, on June 6th, there was no digital footprint. It does not appear as if they had an online presence. It does not appear, I guess, that they had a website. Because when the story came to my attention at the top of the year, and I searched JDL, I think at that point they had a website.
Right? So they do have a website now?
They do have... They had one when I did the research. I don't know.
So tell me about the company. What do you know about the company?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing? You just said you'd gone to the website.
I didn't say that the website said anything really about the company.
Oh, Lord.
But here is an article. $25 million air freight firms links to gaming boss in the Nassau Tribune. This is from the 15th of December.
So is the number boss would be owning this company?
No, it will be. It appears as if a gaming boss is linked to the company. So this...
The company don't have a digital footprint?
Well, remember, in June of 2023, the Nassau Tribune says that they could not find any information online about the company. We're fast forwarding now to the 15th of December, 2023.
Okay, months later.
And we're going to read from the article, $25 million air freight firms links to gaming boss. The company charged with the $25 million transformation of the government's air freight terminal has links to a web shop principal, the Tribune Business can reveal. Registration documents for JDL's website, which have been seen by this newspaper, named the registrant as Pete DeVoe, the island game chief, while also listing his personal cell phone number as the, quote, admin, close quotes, and, quote, tech, close quotes, contact.
So it's safe to say that a number boss is involved?
It's linked to it, yeah.
I mean, they're using his email address and his phone number.
They're using his phone number, definitely.
Okay.
Not sure about email address, but they're using his phone number.
Did they use his name?
Yes, it's registration documents, which have been seen by this newspaper, named the registrant.
Yeah, the name.
As Pete DeVoe, the island game chief.
Yeah, okay, they name his name and they give his phone number.
Right, while also listing his personal cell phone number as the admin and tech contact. The number given is a contact that Tribune Business and its sources both hold for him, while the website registration was created in March 2023 and updated in November. Which is odd because in June, Tribune said they didn't find any...
They could create the website, didn't publish it.
Or so right, they didn't formalize the company yet, and so
and
they didn't launch the website.
Okay.
All right, so let's continue reading. Mr. DeVoe did not comment when contacted by this newspaper, instead sending a message reply that read, quote, can you direct all comments, sick inquiries, and... parentheses, to the Ministry of Finance, please, close quotes.
So they say that's its direct words, that's why they're using sick.
Yeah. However, he did not deny his involvement or links to JDL.
He said minister or ministry?
Ministry.
Okay. So not the prime minister, who's a minister.
Yeah, no. Okay. The ministry itself.
Okay.
However, he did not deny his involvement or links to JDL, and the reply was sent from the same cell phone number as that listed on the company's website registration.
So definitely that phone number works, and whoever answers the phone is aware.
Yes.
Because that's why they respond. Say, go to ministry.
Yes.
Don't talk to me.
Absolutely. Some Bahamian courier companies fear they will either have to close or lay off staff as a result of the 40 cents per pound fee being imposed to scan imported air cargo for contraband before it is released to the relevant broker or client. Now, I'm looking for a statement from Simon Wilson, the financial secretary, in these notes because it still is unclear of what the company JDL will actually be doing. So I'm going to continue to read from that article, $25 million air freight firms links to gaming boss. A JDL presentation obtained by this newspaper details how the process will work once the air freight terminal's $25 million redevelopment is completed, with construction expected to take 12 to 18 months once it begins. Freight forwarders will, quote, barcode and scan, close quotes, packages for upload into JDL's system, containing details on the weight and owner. Once cargo arrives in the Bahamas, it will be transported by ground handlers such as Nassau Flight Services to JDL at the new air freight terminal, where it will be broken down and x-rayed, scanned for contraband such as firearms and narcotics. Any illegal discoveries will be handed to customs. Once cleared, couriers, brokers will be notified that their imported shipments are in a holding area. JDL will release them once paid its handling fee, and the goods will then undergo a second inspection by Bahamas Customs.
Wait. That's a lot of time and effort. Extra time. So, wait. JDL?
Yes.
Inspects the packages, then send it to Customs to inspect the packages again? Or just to pay?
It says, and the goods will then undergo a second inspection by Bahamas Customs. This is from a presentation given by JDL that the Tribune obtained.
So is it a fee or a tax being charged by JDL?
It must be a fee because JDL can't implement a tax. Only government could implement a tax. But the question is, what is JDL collecting the fee for?
For the service. So it could be a service charge, perhaps, not a fee. I'm not sure if there's a difference, service charge versus fee.
Well, there must be a difference because they're two different words, right? They must have used two different words because they have different meanings. I'm just, like you say, not sure what the distinction, the technical distinction is between them. So let me read quickly from another article. Pintard criticizes impending launch of cargo and facility management deal with JDL. This is in the Nassau Tribune, the 1st of March, 2024. FNM leader Pintard criticized the impending launch of JDL cargo management, which will provide cargo and facility management services. He called on the government to cancel the operation. Quote, clearly what is reported cannot be defended, close quotes, he said. It simply cannot be that the government has signed on to a $25 million plus arrangement outside of its own procurement law that would require an undertaking like this to go to competitive bidding. Quote, it cannot be that the Customs Management Act is being breached by allowing an entity to manage landed goods outside of the prescribed legal framework.
Which means there was no bidding. Of course it had to be unbidden.
Listen, we have in that same, in another article, we have Thomas Cooper, president owner of Miami Lakes-based Conquest Air Cargo, responding to the issue. His quote is found in the same article, $25 million air freight firms links to gaming boss. Thomas Cooper, president owner of Miami Lakes-based Conquest Air Cargo, said the cargo scanning and clearance system being proposed by JDL appears unlike those used by other countries. Quote, it seems like it's a duplicative process, close quotes. He added, quote, I can't think of any other places in the world to do it that way, close quotes. That second verification is likely what Mr. Cooper meant when he voiced concerns over duplication. Mr. Wilson, Simon Wilson, the financial secretary, told Tribune Business on Thursday that the government has been seeking a solution to the air freight terminal's deterioration for 10 years and, despite approaching multiple parties, was unable to find a PPP partner until JDL appeared.
Right. So you say for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
various administrations.
Yeah, it appears.
Have been approaching various entities for partnership?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it saying that the PLP for 10 years administration, just coincidence, it's in the PLP, has been searching for a partner, public, a private partnership, and now they found one now? Which one? Is the government's successive or just this administration?
That's not, there's no indication of a particular administration being driving that search. I think it's continuous government.
So you're saying that for 10 years they couldn't find one. So
right.
That's the reason why they circumvent the bidding process. Say, man, we couldn't find one, so we circumvent it because we find one person now?
Listen, Mr. Wilson does not say we couldn't find one, so we circumvented all the processes. He doesn't say that. But after reading various articles about it that captured different quotes from the financial secretary, what I infer from what I am reading, what I infer is that it's possible that he's offering up this narrative as a justification for why certain procedures were not followed through. However, Mr. Pintard questioned whether the deal complies with both the original and new Public Procurement Act. And he also challenged whether the JDL deal breaches the Customs Management Act, which makes customs the sole lawful authority dealing with the landing and clearance of goods in the Bahamas.
Is he in charge of customs?
The financial secretary?
Yeah.
No.
So can he speak on behalf of customs? Or he's speaking on behalf of finance?
In fact, the article initially lists him as the financial secretary, so he must be speaking in his capacity as financial secretary.
So can customs say, no, financial secretary, you are wrong, this is what the act says?
Well.
Or does the financial secretary trumps the Customs Act?
Financial secretary can't trump the Customs Act.
He's speaking on behalf of them.
He's not. There's no indication in this article that he is speaking on behalf of them.
So who are you speaking on behalf of? It's a custom matter. So who is he speaking on behalf of? If we talk about customs, who is he speaking on behalf of?
He's speaking in the capacity, in his capacity as a financial secretary, which suggests that he's speaking on behalf of the Ministry of Finance.
So we need someone to speak on behalf of customs.
Right, and I tell you what, Mr. Newry, I've got a ton of quotes here, and maybe I have a quote from a representative from Customs, but let's read through the articles, right? We're going to continue Mr. Pintard's commentary in the article, $25 million air freight firms links to gaming boss from the 15th of December. Mr. Pintard questioned whether the deal complies with both the original and the new Public Procurement Act, and he also challenged whether the JDL deal breaches the Customs Management Act, which makes customs the sole lawful authority dealing with the landing and clearance of goods in the Bahamas. The opposition leader argued that government must come to Parliament and get its approval via passage of a new law before JDL can levy the facility fee and 40 cent per pound charge. That's two new fees?
But I'm just getting a text to remind me that the financial secretary is in charge of customs and all financial arms of the government. So when he's...
Pause. What do you mean the financial secretary, an unappointed...
He is appointed, eh?
I mean an unelected official.
Is in charge of all of the financial arms to make sure that all of the money come in for government. So I guess he can speak on behalf of customs. You know? The financial secretary is the most senior financial officer of the Bahamas.
Mm.
No, I just won't put it on record to correct
us. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead.
Other sources, speaking on condition of anonymity, also argued that the JDL is presently structured would effectively usurp the role of customs as the sole authority lawfully responsible for managing and handling all imported cargo landed in the Bahamas. As a result, they argued that the PPP arrangement violates the Customs Management Act. Besides cargo manifests being sent directly to JDL instead of customs as required by the Act Section 72, the actual physical goods will also be received by the private company. Presently, all cargo is received by a broker agent licensed by customs and held in a storage bonded facility subject to the agency's control and from which it earns rental fees. fees. Now, let's fast forward to, well, let's take a step back to December 14th in the article, Air Freight Terminal Disgrace Set for $25 million Transformation. Mr. Wilson, financial secretary, pointed out that the government had been totally transparent about its intentions, having disclosed the proposed JDL agreement on page 280 of its 2023-2024 budget back in May. And he branded suggestions that JDL and its proposed 40 cent per pound of cargo fee would significantly raise import costs as disingenuous, arguing that it paled against charges levied by courier companies. But they're not a courier company, sir. So why are you making that comparison?
I want to know if the courier company still got to transfer this new charge onto us, the consumer. So when you say that it pales the courier company's charge, won't this new charge be added to the courier company charge anyway?
Right. Listen, let me continue to read from the article. Mr. Wilson affirmed yesterday, We were looking for a solution, and a Bahamian company came in and was willing to take on the risk for redeveloping the building for customs purposes. We made no secret of it in the budget. This is nothing new. But did you follow the proper procedures required?
And did the budget come afterwards? Did you declare that we're looking for a strategic partner, and if you're interested, come and make a bid to the public? Or were they looking, not to say secretly, but behind closed doors for a strategic partner, but people wasn't aware that this was an option.
Right. Questions to be answered. I continue from the quote from Mr. Wilson. We made no secret of it in the budget. This is nothing new. It will take a massive investment, and the company is willing to do it. A review of the file will show that we have attempted to do this for at least the last 7 years. We went far and wide, approached many persons to say...
Wait. He was not here for 7 years. Didn't they? Was on leave?
Remember, government is continuous.
Yeah, but wasn't he on leave?
Yes.
So it can't be said last 7 years when he wasn't there.
I mean, perhaps he's speaking in terms of the office. The office of the financial secretary had been at this task for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Right? This started 7 to 8 years ago when we thought we could use part of that building as an office for Nassau Flight Services. This is not just something that sprung up. We found one person willing to take the risk up front. They're taking the complete risk. If the volume of traffic is not there, they lose their money. Hopefully this goes well for us. If it does, it will be a precursor for other things where the private sector takes on the risk.
Which means volume of traffic isn't there. And they're getting all freight to kind of go through them now. So they have the order volume, right?
I am very uncomfortable with the statement by the financial secretary. It always appears as if state actors are attempting to defend breaches or disregard for proper procedures in governance. You can't tell me, oh, we've been looking for somebody for 10 years and we're so lucky we found somebody who could fix it up for us. See, because I want to know why the 40 cent per pound fee if they're getting $25 million to transform it. What, right?
Because they're paying the $25 million, not us. They assume all the loss. They are investing this money, not us, the public.
Yeah, well, then that's an even bigger problem, Mr. Newry. That's an even bigger problem. The government doesn't have the money required to fix up the customs facilities.
Who makes all the money?
You don't want to prioritize the hospital. Bahamians dying is not a problem.
The financial sector explain all that.
You don't want to prioritize traffic control because the motoring public is of no concern to you, right? People being terrorized, red plates, black and white plates, blue and white plates, green and white plates, everybody breaking the traffic control. You didn't prioritize that. You don't think you should prioritize some money to ensure that the management of customs remains primarily in the hands of the Bahamian government?
Let's squeeze in this one caller, and then we got to go. Squeeze in this last caller.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
And then we got to go.
Good morning, caller.
Call girl once. Call girl twice.
Don't worry, caller. I understand.
Now you conclude. It's 11:03. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. No, I just think this entity of customs in particular is not an appropriate space to implement a PPP. Not at all. And perhaps we need to revisit this. See,
we need more number men to invest. And I'm glad we now have number men investing in our government. It's like the third, fourth one now. I'm happy.
You're happy?
Well,
you don't see a trend happening.
I see a trend.
You don't see a trend where a PPP is developed with a third-party operator. See, because in the trend now.
Our government said they have the money.
Here's what I expect in the next, well, after the 18 months and the thing has been operated for a year, I expect somebody to get up in the House of Parliament and crack a joke about another company that's not paying fees into government properly, but the Prime Minister is not going to call their name, right? Because some things don't need to be public.
This administration did it a lot. Yeah. We got to go.
It's very concerning.
We got to go.
Considering the track record of some of the PPPs in the country. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green and the Wednesday Man Down mashup session with Guardian Radio AM. Please stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of this break to continue the discussion in Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.